Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Today in the studio, we have Jody Stanke of Talon Performance Group. She also owns the building that we're taping in, Talon Business Center. Jody is CEO of Talon's Performance Group. In 1999, she founded Legal Liaisons Limited, a successful service executive search firm for the legal industry. In order to meet the evolving needs of her legal industry clients, she transformed the business from recruitment into a comprehensive talent management firm called Talon Performance Group. Welcome back in the studio for our third mentoring session, Jody.
Thanks, Nancy.
Is your energy level still high?
Right now, I'm feeling emotionally clear and thrilled.
Well, that's wonderful. All right. Yes. Well, that will be helpful when we share all of our, now that you've shared in the first, episode, your upbringing and the influences that your childhood has had on some of the decisions you made in going to college. And then you eventually came to the Twin Cities from smaller towns and you acclimated really well and got your footholding in the Twin Cities. And you started to rock and roll and build your own talent business performance company.
Yes.
Yeah. Recruiting business.
Yes.
And then out of that, you decided that you got married. You and your husband bought this building that we're in St. Louis Park. Mm-hmm. And from there, you really built out the performance end of your recruiting firm.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And you added coaching and business development and a lot of training for people within companies to really help them bump up their performance levels.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And navigate their careers.
Yeah.
Yeah, at every level. Yeah.
Well, we need a lot of that because it's not where you land somewhere and you stay. I mean, what is the average now? 3 to 4 years?
Right. Yeah.
And people are, moving a lot. And it just seems like our economy, the whole place of where we found ourselves after 2008 is a very volatile space.
It is very different, yes. And I do find professionals and executives, when they hit their sweet spot, they often haven't planned for after that. Yeah. And so these days, it's unrealistic to think that you're going to be in your top position at the same organization for your career.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic. So it behooves people to continue to think about skills they want to hone, relationships they want to develop for their network, and not just stop.
Right.
Because they landed somewhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That you need to kind of keep building out your life work.
Yes.
And that's why there's a term that's being used now instead of your career is your life work.
Ah.
So that you're looking at your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at in different phases, sometimes you need more personal time. Sometimes you need to switch careers. If we're living longer, we are human beings, we're creative beings. And so we need to be feeling like we're challenged in a variety of different ways and use our talents in different ways. And so having one career doing one thing just doesn't feed your spirit through the rest of your life.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yes.
And there's some things, you went through a very turbulent time, as our country did in 2008, mm-hmm. When the real estate market was pulled out from underneath us and all this criminal activity was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people lost their homes and every industry was affected in different ways.
Yes.
And for your legal recruiting firm, the bottom just kind of dropped out because people stopped. They just totally froze their hiring decisions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you were resilient and brilliant in like getting some ideas of, you know, this is a very transactional business that we really need more stability and steady income revenues. How else can we build out our business model? Mm-hmm. And the things that you have done to help maintain that and build on that and recover from things that haven't gone well and have kept you in business. And I was just wondering, it would be really great for other people to know some of the things that you've done, like strategic planning. You're an avid strategic planner.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if these are tips that are good or not good, but I guess it's what I've done to just naturally to keep things going or continue to evolve. So yeah, I think it keeps focus too. And it keeps focus, right? Yeah, I think it's important to have a plan. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people get caught up in their strategic plan or their business plan, and it's 3, 5, 10 years out. And I do that too. I plan those years, but then I let it sit there and focus on the immediate short term. And I think sometimes, especially if a business is in a shaky space,
yeah,
meaning not sure where the shift has to happen in order for them to keep evolving or to continue with revenue flow, I think too often people aren't focusing on short-term action.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical to success.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what are the things that you did to kind of get right away, to get your feet back on the ground and to keep moving? Because it took 4 years for the legal recruiting business to kind of come back around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of your relationships changed when you went through your divorce. And you did a lot of reevaluating and soul searching to say, you know, I want to deepen the relationships in my life. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, if you move a lot, you are taught to develop relationships. Mm-hmm. I think what's never talked about when a person moves is how to say goodbye when you are leaving somewhere to all the relationships. And, you know, even a conversation with people, especially when you're younger and you're moving during elementary schools or during high school, there's less conversation about we're uprooting. And how do we kind of connect with the people that we're saying goodbye to?
Right. And at those times, I mean, there wasn't any internet, cell phone, email. We didn't have any of that kind of technology. We had a pen and paper in the post office.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, right. Yeah. That's probably true. I don't even think we ever thought about goodbyes, frankly.
Yeah.
At that age.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's hard to know then, you know, as an adult, when you get into a deeper relationship, how to navigate through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, you know, there are more resources out there and therapy is being embraced so much. We now have Brené Brown and her brilliant research to help us rise strong from these heartbreak situations so that we don't shut down from them, but we actually move into them and through them. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be one of your consistent strategies, is to stay in action, to keep moving.
Yeah, but I mean, probably by force, frankly, because I had a lot of overhead I had to support. So my choice was I got to figure out something or I'm going to lose everything. And for a while, I thought I might be moving back in with my parents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose tips and tricks I used, I don't think any of it is magic or rocket science. I think it's like when I am going to say what I say, you'll probably be like, of course. But so I don't know if it's unique to me or not, frankly. But, you know, one thing I did is just figure out how much money I had to earn every single month mm-hmm. in order to keep everything afloat.
Yeah.
And then I created I found somebody else's spreadsheet that you could track your revenue on a daily basis. And I set it up to have it track revenue on a daily basis per service line. And so,
is this like in an Excel worksheet?
It's an Excel. Yeah, it's an Excel worksheet. And so constantly I knew how much money I was bringing in every single day. Oh. And I knew constantly if I was on track or off track.
Oh.
And
really critical information that you needed.
100%. And I think there's something to that idea of if you are putting numbers out there, you know, I knew my end year goal and then I broke it down into quarter, month, week, you know, day. I knew the day number too. So I was very aware of what the big picture was while I could, while focusing on the small daily actions.
Mm-hmm.
But the small daily actions then were influenced by where I was on my revenue sheet.
Yeah. Yes.
So for a while I was saying to people when they would ask what kind of recruiting I would do, I mean, for a while I said, gosh, I would, you know, I would go find your dog as a dog catcher. I mean, I will do anything.
Yeah. So financial pressure helped you to hone in and really perfect how you perform yourself.
Yeah. And I think that that overrode the feelings that I was having about, you know, maybe not wanting to get up some mornings.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford not to get up.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, I suppose that was helpful in some way. It didn't allow me to maybe deal with, in a faster way, the grief and emotion that I was feeling.
Mm.
Instead, I had to put that aside so I could focus on keeping everything going.
Yeah.
So good and bad with that.
Yeah.
But it kept everything going.
Yeah.
And then also I think, you know, I couldn't see very far into the future. I mean, who knows what was going on, but also I think just personally, when you are, weighted down with such tremendous change and all kinds of other feeling and emotion, you can't really have clarity, creativity, innovation to see what's next for vision planning.
Right.
So, but what I could, if you're focusing on, well, what can you do to bring money in the door and where is work happening or where are needs in the market, then figuring out, well, how can I meet those needs? I mean, like any business owner would do, how can I meet those needs? What's realistic? And then what do I need to market myself in those ways.
Mm-hmm. You know? 'Cause in a service business, it's also what skills do I need to acquire and quickly?
Yes. You know, although, I mean, you know,
like with your coaching and
the fake it till you make it kind of came into play right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very aware of where the line was of things I didn't know.
Yes.
And so I'm comfortable playing in the place of, well, I haven't done it before, but I think I can do it.
Yeah. You're confident that you can figure it out.
Yes.
Quickly.
Or add value. I was always very aware of, if I didn't think I could add value to them, it would have been hard to take their money or sell something.
Yeah.
But if I thought I could add value, because I knew in that moment more than they knew, then, you know, there's something there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being small, you're nimble, so you can tailor, customize, shift according to what the needs are really fast.
Yeah.
That's a nice advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You always seem very positive, even though you are experiencing a lot too emotionally and going through different transitions, which I think has contributed very much to your success. And Mike has a question of, is this something that's totally natural for you, or have you been working on it?
Mm. Well, my personality style is that of being inspirational and motivational.
Yeah.
And I would say, I think throughout my life, I've been optimistic. It's been easy for me to see the bright side or to see where opportunity is or to see, and I don't know why, but I've been pretty good about doing that.
Yeah.
Not always for myself. I mean, it's easier to do it with other people than it is yourself. And I think that's true for me too. But I can always swing myself back around.
Yeah.
To that place of, okay, well, let's just do it.
So you know you're going to land on your feet.
Yeah, I always, yeah, that's true. I never lost that sensation that I wouldn't land on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know when I was going to, maybe.
Yeah.
Or how long or how hard that fall was going to be.
Yes.
But I always thought, something was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much time do you spend reflecting on, like if we looked at, you know, during a tax season, we're really focused on past activity over the last year. And then we're trying to shore up, you know, where we're at and what we're planning to do for the next year. What does that process look like for you? How much time do you spend with it? Do you work with a lot of other people to help you with that, or?
Well, I guess my opinion on past activity is to look at past activity compared to what your goals were.
Yeah.
And kind of see what happened or why.
Mm-hmm.
And then move on.
Yeah.
Like I don't go into deep evaluation. I don't go into deep running of numbers. I'm really top level with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know why.
Because you've lived it.
Well, and working the numbers probably really isn't my strong suit. So
okay,
like I've
sure.
always been like, I like to put the number out there and go for it. And I most of the time have no idea how I'm going to get that number. No idea. I just know that that's the number I want to get.
Yeah, right, so, right. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's good. You want to see where you've been, and you want to know what the reality of your starting place is. And then I think you want to really focus your time and attention on what you're doing next and how you're, you know,
yeah,
how you're going to get there
yeah.
versus what happened before.
Right. Because if you spend too much time there, then you don't have the energy to do the projecting out and focusing on your next goals.
Yeah. Or yeah. instead of having 12 months for your future, you now have 7 months.
Yeah. It's interesting because accountants really like to analyze the past, you know, and it's interesting that people do enjoy that.
And I think there's something to it, you know, like I think a missing for me is someone who can work the numbers to help more in a different way, I suppose, plan how to use your money more effectively or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
financial planning
or really like a CFO or a controller. Like
yeah.
I think there's definitely some value in that and a missing for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been lucky that I can put a number out there and go for it and most of the time get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a little magic there. It's not like it's planning with the numbers. You know?
Yeah. Right. So having someone that helps you be a little more exact with that.
Something. Yeah. I feel, unless it's just because I know that I don't do that.
Yeah.
So I constantly have this lingering thought that there's someone who might know how to do it better than me.
Yeah.
Because there must be some better strategy to it than just going for a number.
Yeah. You know? Right.
Yeah.
And what did it take for you to hire administrative help? When did you start that, and how did you come about making that decision?
Mm. Well, so my first hire was administrative help, and but my administrative help, I think, I don't know, they're not just in one little boxed in seat. They're pretty immersed in whatever's going on with me is ultimately going on with them too.
Yeah, right, because you know, you're working so closely.
Yeah, and there's so many. We're such a small business that that I need help where I need help when I need help, and I don't always know what that is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so their role is just whatever comes up, we're going to be handling.
Right. And then I'm really always in the office focused on revenue activity first.
Yeah.
Probably at the expense of everything else, frankly. I would take people off of just straight admin stuff to have them help with whatever's going to produce revenue.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a trade-off there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, at some point that might shift, but I don't know. I mean, I think I've never not been a small business. So I've never hit the number of people where the revenue didn't drive the activity.
Yeah.
Even when we were a fully staffed office of, I guess we had 10 internal people at one time, we still prioritized our activities based on revenue producing activities.
Well, it's the lifeline of the business.
Yeah.
So if you're not focused on that, you won't be in business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's hard to build in enough of the revenue stream to squeak out extra money for those other pieces.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It is a little bit of a risk.
That's where the CFO would come in.
Probably.
To do a number of different scenarios of how you could build in a bigger cushion to support CFO or other roles within the company to kind of build it out more, you know, and that may or may not be a goal of yours, but having a lean company is really works for you. You know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think frankly, in any small business, even with many employees and still being a small business, I don't think you can afford to have someone in a seat that's not contributing.
Bottom line.
Yeah. All the time. There's just no room for it. You know, I think in larger companies, it's different. You can have blenders for quite some time before it becomes an issue. But in a smaller organization, you just notice it right away.
Yeah.
And then it can poorly influence everything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How have you transitioned your business, or how are you connected with social media?
Oh, gosh. I'm not. Okay, I have a Facebook page and a LinkedIn page. I am not the person to ask about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, weak spot right there. Yeah.
Okay.
Hurting me. It's now, it used to be a neutral. Now I think it's hurting. I think it hurts you if you're not using it.
Yeah. Well, and I think like in the recruiting business, a lot of people are trying to get work through Facebook and using LinkedIn. And there's a whole new movement now of creating value within LinkedIn. So it's not just another person you're, you know, bringing in or liking into your group, but you're actually putting some strategy behind how you want to stay connected with other people. Or like for me, what's nice about the podcast program is all my social media is connected in one area. And so when my podcast goes out, it alerts all the other areas. And so people get all the same information at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that may be a fun area to explore. It's, you know, once you work out some of the technology issues that we all have when we're learning some of this new technology and what works with what. And
yeah, I don't know. I mean, truth be told, I don't want to learn it. That's where I would hire. I would rather hire someone to figure all that out for me.
For the social media. Yeah. So like a PR firm.
Or an individual or, yeah.
Okay. Who's savvy in that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they can work from home or whatever, but their job is to keep me front and center. You know, like that would be a really good compliment because, you know, frankly, I have very little interest in it.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. You don't want to build
it out then.
I
don't really want to do it. I know it's important, but I don't want, you know.
Unless it would be directly related to connected with your revenue.
Well, and I recognize it is directly connected to the revenue, but maybe if I learned more about it, I would feel differently. But right now, it just is frustrating to me.
Yeah.
And I would rather, and so I won't spend time learning it because I'd rather do something that's more enjoyable for me.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
I can see a faster result probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good. That works. And every business is connected on social media in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it also can be a huge time suck if you don't have strategies behind it to bring in the revenue or really cultivate the relationships online. And I think there's a lot to learn about it. I'm certainly learning just a little bit every day in snippets.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been very good. Is there any other tips that you feel on your journey so far that you think that someone would enjoy kind of hearing or could benefit from?
Well, I was thinking about that when you asked me earlier. And so some things I thought about is I think you have to swallow your pride.
Yes.
And just pick up the phone or talk with someone no matter what sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think that idea of don't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, someone else is going to do it if you don't do it. So you should just do it when you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And don't wait to do it later. The tenacity of, you know, gosh, I mean, people are busy. So I always remember that if the interest is mine in talking with that person, that they don't call me back doesn't mean anything other than they haven't called me back.
Yeah.
And it most likely means they lost my number. They forgot. They lost the slip of paper. They haven't gotten to it on their list yet. So I regularly think about if it's my interest, then it's my job to reach them.
Yeah.
No matter how many times it takes.
Yeah.
Or how many ways it takes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't really have any limits around that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I think it's received well. There's only a few restraining orders I have. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any. And, you know, you always hear people say, do the right thing. But I do think that's true. I think when you don't, it does come back around. Even if you lose in the moment, I think it still is important that you do the right thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so those are some of the other things that I was thinking
and
about.
And if you don't do the right thing to clean up your mess when you realize you haven't done it right.
Yeah.
To go back and clean it up.
Yeah. And I think though, you know, even if you clean it up, it still doesn't change the effect.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is it most often doesn't change it.
Yeah.
Whatever the result is, other than it might clear your conscience.
I think, well, that's the whole reason, because yeah. Otherwise you spend a lot of time beating yourself up and that isn't helpful either.
Right.
Yeah. Make a concerted effort to make amends with the mistake that you made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all have situations where we've had to clean up a mess or two and
yeah.
Yeah, it has mixed results,
mm-hmm.
But the important thing is to just clean it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I think the other little thing that's helped me and that I keep in mind regularly is just make it easy on yourself.
Mm,
like, don't set yourself up to get 20 things done that are just, it's unrealistic for you to ever get 20 things done.
Mm-hmm.
So set yourself up for success and be accountable to yourself and... and I think that can help you keep putting that one foot in front of the other when you're setting yourself up for success, being accountable, being reasonable with yourself, basing yourself in reality, grounding yourself in reality all the time.
Yeah.
And then that follows through with your clients on what's realistic as to what they can expect from you.
Yeah. And then if you've got a deadline that you can't meet, you can renegotiate it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
And what are the ways in which you take care of yourself? Like, I know that you're a runner. I know that you do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're now teaching yoga.
Yeah.
To your running group.
Yeah. And teaching running in the spring.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So that's purely for fun.
Purely for fun. Although it's also a stretch thing for me. I mean, you would think that teaching yoga and teaching running, like what's the big deal with the other work that I do?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's different enough. And I can't even say exactly why it's different. I'm kind of exploring that idea right now. But it's different enough that it has me feel vulnerable and like all this, like not confident, all these uncomfortable feelings that I haven't felt in a while, frankly. And I usually don't feel in my regular work now, but I'm definitely feeling in these other areas.
Okay.
So it's been, it's for fun for sure.
Yeah.
It definitely it's keeping me accountable to being active, or I wouldn't be able to be in a teaching role. But it's also, I think, stretching my agility in a new way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gives you a place to be able to tap into maybe some unresolved feelings and giving it space for that to come up.
Yeah, right. That's probably true too. Yeah.
Nice.
But then I think as far as just being easy on yourself and being realistic, like, I don't know, maybe it's age too, and you're just only have so much energy. It's different than 20 years ago, you know?
Well, I think that's part of coming to terms with the transition as we move through each decade.
Yeah. So I just kind of give myself a break now. If I don't feel like doing my laundry, then I don't do it. Or, you know, just figure out another time to do it. Or, yeah, I'll probably give myself a little bit more just downtime than I ever have.
Okay.
And being okay with that.
Yeah, coming to terms with it. The roof isn't going to fall in.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that shifted that I do regularly for myself, well, I just think it's good to support yourself with your eating, your physical exercise. I practice meditation. I think that's really helpful for your mind to keep you grounded and centered. But I think also then all kind of connected with that, just continual learning, like joining your lab, Nancy, putting yourself in positions where you're continually learning something new is just helpful for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being kind to yourself. So your self-talk, like I was really rough on myself with my internal self-talk.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I'm just probably a little gentler with myself, or I'm definitely more aware of what I'm saying to myself. And so, yeah, it is important. Yeah.
Yeah. We give it a lot of power. Of how we judge ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us more critical and we can be more sinister toward the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we can give ourselves a break and find ways to comfort ourselves and soothe ourselves, that especially when we're taking big risks like you are and putting yourself out there and also trying to recover and rebuild and reorient and gain a different perspective on the next phase of your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
So there it is.
There it is. All right. Well, thanks for being here. This has been just a very enriching conversation, all three conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're part of the lab program, I would like to check in with you and we'll do some more, have some more conversations a few months from now to see how things are going.
Okay.
So our listeners can kind of keep track of how you're doing.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Mike, for being here as our sound engineer and photographer and empathetic listener, and provides so many good insights. Well, and thanks you, listener, for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process. Along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning, we do what works. get involved, get in started, you can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.